I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the dot-com boom. Remember when people used to toss around chit-chat about venture capital millions the way people used to talk about sports scores or, in D.C., election results? Crazy stock prices, crazy parties. It was all part of the once-staid Washington, D.C. scene. It seemed like it would never end, until it did. We'll talk to two people who were along for the ride in a few minutes. But first, we want to talk about another bumpy ride, the career of New York Governor David Paterson. He made history as New York's first black governor. He also sparked pride as the nation's only disabled governor. But his star has dimmed and his approval ratings have plummeted after a series of explosive allegations about his efforts to help and aid through an ugly incident of domestic violence. Meanwhile, three of Paterson's top advisors have quit in the past 2 weeks. The governor is making the case that he is proceeding with the state's business. On Friday, at the grand opening of a restaurant at John F. Kennedy Airport, Paterson told reporters explicitly that he is not going to resign. Today, he holds a town hall meeting in Brooklyn to discuss the state budget and other financial issues. But we wanted to know, can he hold on? And what about his core of support in the African-American community? To talk more about this, we called Joel Dreyfus, managing editor of the online publication TheRoot.com, and Eleanor Tatum, publisher and editor of the Amsterdam News in New York. Both are publications that focus on issues of particular interest to the black community, and they're both with us from New York. I thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Before we get started, I wanted, if you both don't mind, I wanted to play a couple of clips to just set up the scene for us. There was a meeting of African-American activists and officials last week, and State Senator Eric Adams had this to say about this question of whether Governor Paterson should hold on. Here's what he had to say.
So there's no other reason why anyone else that has never ran for office is still asking the question, can he govern, when those of us who are governing with him are saying, yes, he can govern.
And, of course, David Paterson has the same view. As we mentioned on Friday, he spoke to reporters explicitly about this. This is what he had to say.
These issues are going to affect the people of New York a lot more than my problems. And when I get up here to speak, I'm not creating the distraction. I'm continually trying to talk about that issue, because in June and July, people will remember that this is the issue we have to confront right now. It is the priority.
Of course, he's talking about the budget there and the sort of state of the New York economy overall. So, Eleanor Tatum, do people agree with him and Senator Adams? Do they buy that argument?
I think many in the black community do buy that argument and do think that he can continue to govern. I mean, the fact of the matter is this state has been in trouble for a while now, and Governor Paterson is the only one that's actually made any decisions to try to make sure that the state stays afloat. And the fact of the matter is that the legislature has not been functioning properly itself. And I think the governor is doing his best to make sure that we do get something accomplished.
Do you think he can?
I think he can if people stop focusing on what hasn't actually happened. There have not been any indictments. The investigation has not been completed yet. And if they let him do what he is elected to do, well, that he has been appointed to do because of Spitzer's leaving office, then he will be able to do the work. But if people continue to get in the way by bringing up all these other things that really have nothing to do with the day-to-day operations of the state, it will make it difficult. But is he capable of doing it? Yes.
Joel, what do you think?
I think it's a tough time for the governor, and I doubt that he can get much accomplished. First of all, power is always in the perception. And when you're one, a lame duck, you have a cloud over your head. He wasn't getting the cooperation from the state legislature before these scandals erupted. I just find it hard to believe that he can last out a term or get anything accomplished because, unfortunately, the focus is going to be on his troubles, and that's going to keep, you're going to keep seeing revelations in the papers. Now they've asked the state attorney general to investigate some of the allegations. State attorney general is also a potential candidate for governor, so it raises some interesting conflicts of interest. So I think that it's going to be very tough for him, and I don't see how he can last a year doing this.
One of the other issues, though, mm-hmm. is who else could govern better at this point in time? As you even said, that the legislature has not gotten along very well, and this is something that's been going on for the last several years. But the fact is, can Ravitch do any better? And I don't think the answer is yes.
Richard Ravitch being the lieutenant governor. Eleanor, what is the source of support for the governor right now? Is it the, historically just having an African American in that position? Is just deemed so important that people have to support him despite the fact that he's clearly battered? Is it that his respect for his father, who was, of course, a significant, a huge figure in New York politics? What's the source of regard for him right now?
I think it's a combination of things. First of all, that yes, he has attained a historic position by being the first African American governor. But in addition to that, I think a lot of people think he's gotten a bum rap. And in terms of the way the media coverage has gone after this, and, you know, the fact is that it is under investigation, but there have not been any indictments, there has not been any charges. So people are saying to themselves, well, what is the actual story here? I mean, this whole thing with the New York Times, for weeks there was, quote unquote, a story coming down that was going to ruin the governor. But it took weeks for it to finally come out. And then we find out that it's actually more about one of his aides than the governor himself. And yes, there were talks now about some involvement that he may or may not have had with the incident that took place with his aide. But again,
well, he acknowledges that
we don't know.
But he acknowledged that he called the woman who had accused his very close aide of a very, very disturbing case of domestic violence, that she was seeking a stay-away order and that she didn't show up for court. And he acknowledged that he called her.
Yes.
Why would he call her?
Has the governor actually told us what happened in that conversation? Do you know what actually took place in that conversation and what the purpose of that conversation was? The fact is, we do not know the answer to that. And from what my sources tell me, it was not anything to do with trying to persuade her not to press any charges or anything like that. It had a very different tone.
And it's really hard to have this conversation without noting that Congressman Charlie Rangel, who's the dean of the New York Congressional Delegation, was also forced to step aside from the chairmanship of the Heavyweight House Ways and Means Committee. And Joel, what effect do you think all of that is having on how this issue is being framed and kind of the sense of what David Patterson should do? Do you think that the two of those stories are working together in a way to create a certain impression?
I think that these two stories work together because they indicate what happens, that there's been a shift of power in New York, and in not just in New York, but of course in the country, not only with President Obama, but the fact is that black politicians have acquired unusual power. Charlie Rangel waited 40 years to become chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. New York State, which while it's produced great national champions like Adam Clayton Powell before Rangel, is not a place that's good for black people in terms of politics. There's been a continuing struggle for African Americans to gain any real political power in New York. New York is a state that's, you know, was, you know, predominantly white. It was a New York City was a hotbed of white liberalism, people who professed to be looking out for the interest of African Americans. I think that always holds, it makes it more difficult for African Americans to emerge in their own interests when there are other people professing to represent them. So I think that what you're seeing is a new scrutiny of black politicians as they move into positions of power because it upsets the status quo.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Joel Dreyfus, managing editor of TheRoot.com, and Eleanor Tatum, publisher of the Amsterdam News. We're talking about New York Governor David Patterson's political woes and more broadly the question of black political power in New York. And to that end, Joel, there was an article in Politico this weekend that says that it was written by Ben Smith, who wrote that the sun is setting on Harlem as the seat of New York's black political elite and the symbolic national center of black politics. Do you think that that is true? I mean, and the article goes on to suggest that part of the issue here is that the New York black political elite hasn't done a good job of cultivating a set of successors who can step in when something like this takes place. Do you think that's true?
Well, that's been true for a long time. You know, there are a lot more black people in Brooklyn and have been for the last 30 years than in Manhattan. The fact is that Harlem is I suppose you could call it the symbolic center of black culture, power, politics in New York. But Brooklyn is by far a much bigger borough, much larger black population. And again, Harlem is in a midst of a gentrification process, just as Washington, D.C. has been going through, where the black concentration in New York is, in Harlem in particular, is declining. And so there are a lot of things going on that are And in this, the second thing about political power and the sharing and nurturing of successors, it's always been a problem. In fact, Basil Paterson, many years ago, and I covered him as a young reporter, I said to him, where are the successors of the current generation? And why haven't they brought people, say, of my generation at that time into the process? And he said, man, these guys are terrified of young ambitious black people. So I think it is a self-perpetuating club in New York, in Harlem in particular, for many, many years. I think it's been much more wide open in Brooklyn. And I expect in the future we'll see much more of a black political leadership emerging from Brooklyn.
And I'm going to give you the final word. We have about a minute left. What do you think?
Well, you know, last week in my editorial, I entitled it, "Negroes Who Attain High Office Must Walk Like Angels." And that was from a editorial written in the Amsterdam News in 1967, in January of 1967, talking about what was happening to Adam Clayton Powell. And the fact of the matter is that we have attained high office. And the more people that we get into high office, the more scrutiny is attached to all of them. And quite frankly, I think that there are people that are afraid of having too many blacks in high places.
Like who?
And once we have that, and we have a black president, New York State has a black governor. We had Charlie Rangel, head of Ways and Means, the most powerful committee. And once you have that, people are afraid of that concentration of power. And there are those people out there that would do whatever they can to make sure that that power does not rest in the hands of black people.
Well, to be continued, we'll keep us posted. Eleanor Tatum is the publisher and editor-in-chief of the Amsterdam News in New York. Joel Dreyfus is managing editor of the online magazine, TheRoot.com. They were both with us from New York, and we thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.